This meeting to order is the Oceana Community Services District. It is April 10th, 6:30 p.m., 2013. Caroline, can I get a roll call?
President Guerrero.
Here.
Vice President Lucy.
Here.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director Angelo. Director White.
We do have three directors here tonight, which is a quorum. We can address whether or not we want to take up all of the items tonight since there's only three of us, but we do have a quorum and are able to proceed with the meeting. Item number three would be the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think as the public, this is item number four, the agenda review. I think as the public can see, we are down two people. Director White is unfortunately having some health issues, and last I heard was in the hospital, and so our thoughts and prayers are with her. And Director Angelo was planning to be out of town this evening. And so there are some items that are fairly important, I think, this evening, and because of that, I wanted to see if the other two board members would agree on pulling items or tabling until next meeting. Item 10E, which is the fiscal year budget status update and revenue. Item 10F, which is the review of the preliminary fiscal year 2013-2014 budget. And the discussion regarding drafting a letter to the South County Sanitation District Board of Directors suggesting a forensic audit.
So you want to pull all three?
That's my thinking. I thought that maybe to have that way Director White and Director Angelo's voices could be heard on that, because I think...
Yeah, I think that would be...
Well, can I interject on something?
Sure.
On E, well, first of all, District Council Chase Martin has got hammered by the flu, and so
yes,
he will be here tonight. So for you people watching at home, this is Jocelyn Hodson. She's our on-staff CPA that has been handling a lot of the... accounting for the last 30 days. I'd like to keep 10E on because that's just corrections of...
Is it time sensitive, Tom? The point is it a time sensitive item? Because it's dealing with fiscal, right? We feel a little awkward moving forward with two board members missing. But if it's time sensitive, we do understand that. But if it's to correct your records to move forward, you know, then we would prefer to table it.
You want to change now or later? It would just make, if she makes these adjustments, it makes the next step a lot easier for us. And it corrects the way we've been reporting things. I don't have a problem with pushing the budget planning back, and but I just, she's made most of the entry changes, got them all identified so she can make the entry changes, and it would be a big push to cleaning up the books, which would make the other part that much more easy.
Okay. And I think there's also an agenda change. Carol Ann pointed out the resolutions were... numbered incorrectly under the business items 10. Caroline, can you fill us back in so the public knows what you were talking about?
Business item 10C was resolution 2013-1. It should read 2013-3.
Okay. And what about 10D, 2013-02, about the placing a lien? Should that be 04, 2013-04?
No, because we already have 01. And okay, now that one would be 2 and the other one would be 3.
Okay, so that one's correct.
Okay, I think that perhaps we should also table 10G to have all the directors' opinion on that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So
it was unexpected this evening not to have everybody here.
So we're going to, you want to take off E?
I'll leave it to whether or not Thelma and Mary. I'm okay with leaving E on given that discussion. I've already been through this.
Yeah, E is good for me. I think it would be valuable to do it.
Just to leave it. And knowing
I've read it. I think I did not discuss it with Director Angelo or Director White. But I can only assume that they've seen the spreadsheet as well. They received the packet at the same time.
Sure.
So, but that would be an assumption on my part.
So, okay, we'll leave that on then.
So we're going to take off F,
G, and G. H.
And H, no.
Wait a minute.
Unless you guys want to leave the H on, how do you feel? That's the proposed letter to the Sanitation District Board regarding a forensic audit.
I think it's important that all directors get their opinions on record on that.
Okay.
So you're going to leave that on?
Yeah. I don't think that's time sensitive.
What was
I think it's something
again?
That
all five should be.
I think
a part
it's something that the OCSD
yeah,
might
I agree.
Urge.
But okay.
Number at what letter
H.
F? We were keeping that or not?
Taking it off. So are we comfortable with the, I mean, since it was published 01, or should we pull the?
I'm comfortable that it's an 03. It seems to be a clerical.
Okay.
I don't think it changes anything substantive.
Okay.
So are there any other?
Also, Jim Taylor, Commander Taylor's in Maryland at the FEMA training.
Okay.
And they said if they could swing it, they'd send a sub, but there's no sub here, so
okay.
We'll probably take that off as well. 8A.
So 8A will be off. Okay.
So I think we need a motion and a vote.
All right. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as modified.
A second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 3-0. Agenda is approved as modified. Moving on, item number 5, public comment. Is there any public comment this evening? Tom, there's any slips?
I didn't get any. But
Mr. It's okay, Jeff.
No, go ahead. Just please, when you come to the microphone, announce who you are and the community that you live in. Thanks, Jeff.
Evening, OCSD.
Good evening, Mr. Pynack.
Jeff Pynack from Oceano, resident. Tonight I'll be speaking on my behalf, but of course some of the things I talk about tonight, I was a chair of Surfrider at the time of the discussion that I'm going to reference tonight. And that meeting that I'm going to reference is a meeting that I myself, as chair of the Surfrider Foundation in Slo County at that time, and also Brad Snook, who was our volunteer coordinator at the time, who is now our chair, and Matt Guerrero, and of course with Mr. John Wallace. We had a meeting at the Kreuzberg Coffee House to talk about general items. This was about a year ago. I don't think the exact date matters. One of the issues and items that we discussed amongst the four of us was our concern, Surfrider's concern, that the effluent that goes out our outfall, which is a combination of Pismo's effluent and our sewage plant's effluent, combines and goes out the outfall. We are still, and were still, and are still concerned that the effluent is actually meeting standards. We listed that concern and talked about that concern with Mr. Wallace, and we suggested a very simple way to test that effluent. We asked John if there was a way to access that effluent pipe before it actually goes out into the ocean, and he suggested that there was in fact a manhole out towards the end of the towards where the beach is, and that it would be very simple to get a sample out of that effluent out of that manhole. And we suggest that we would like to see that tested on a regular and irregular basis, i.e. at the whim of whoever said we're testing now, and it would be tested independently of the Sand District and independently of Pismo, and it would be tested by an independent lab, i.e. Abalone Labs or some lab nearby, to get an independent look at what that effluent actually is going out there as with regards to E. coli and all the measurements that are important to us, fecal coliform, total coliform, all of those things. Mr. Wallace agreed that probably could be a doable thing. of course, with the alligators chomping at Mr. Wallace's legs over the last year or so. That never went anywhere. I certainly didn't bug him about it. But I think now that we've moved on, I think it's time for us to initiate a testing program to see and make sure that that effluent is, in fact, passing standards. That's pretty much my comment. Just one small detail, that, in fact, that effluent is a combination of PISMO's and our district's effluent. So if we test it out there and it does not meet standards, then we have to figure out which plant it came from or who's not meeting standards.
Thank you, Mr.
Thanks
Pynack.
Very much.
Thank you. And I was there at that meeting that Mr. Pynack was speaking about, and that was correct, but the discussion was about. So. Is there any other public comment this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number six, special presentations. There are none. Item number seven, consent agenda. There are two items, the review and approval of minutes from the March 27th meeting and also cash disbursements. Is there any board comment on these?
I have none.
Director or Vice President Lucy?
No.
No? Okay. I have no comment then. Is there a motion?
I move that we approve the minutes as, approve the minutes as submitted, as well. Are we doing the cash disbursement also?
Yeah, we're doing the consent.
So it all consent, okay. Yeah. And the cash disbursement.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. Moving on to item number 8, reports. First one would be 8B, Five Cities Fire Authority. I see Chief Heath here. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, honored President Guerrero and board members. Ricky Heath, Five Cities Fire. It's been, for call volume, it's been fairly slow this month. We ran 43 calls out of this station here in Oceano, and one of them being a brush fire that was just over by the lagoon in the state response area. We arrived there and put the fire out before it got to any significance. Other than that, we ran 26 medical aid calls, 5 service public assist calls, and 11 good intention being false alarms. But also, just wanted to share with you that during the past month, we've completed both driver operator 1A and 1B, so more of our personnel are able to drive and operate fire apparatus legally and safely. Also, we have the only confined space, state-certified confined space rescue training site in this area that we were able to put on a confined space training for several people, and they came from all over the state. So that was a great success. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thanks. Any questions for Chief Heath? I note that the fire line came out again. I think it was earlier this week or late last week. And for those who don't know, the Five Cities Fire Authority has a website and they publish a newsletter, and it's getting bigger and bigger. You guys are putting a lot of effort into it. So
yes,
I read
are.
That. Thanks so much, Chief.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, moving on to item number 8C, OCSD operations. General Manager Tom Gieselin.
My report's going to be on the small side. Last Wednesday, I attended RAC and gave a presentation on the status of Oceano, and I was going to give it tonight, but with the lack of board members here, I'm going to hold off till next meeting. We've been in firefight mode with respect to our software, trying to make it run more efficiently, and we've been marginally successful. We went, just to give you an example, we put intelligent barcodes on so that we could control our postage costs so they'd be significantly less. And for some reason, Tyler only thought to do it to the ones where there's an actual customer name, but ones that we send out to a resident doesn't do it, so we're not taking advantage of that. And to me, that makes no sense, but it's just one of those things that popped up. It affects 400 mailings. They claim they do it because it's a courtesy notice, and you know we're trying to control costs, so the team is chasing that down. The other thing we noticed that when we were doing a lot of the meter reads, we had the same issues popping up over and over again historically. And so we put an action and response list together, and USO, which is the utility operators, and office staff are chasing those down. Every month we pay a bill to Excelsis, which is the maintenance agreement we have on the handhelds, and going back through everything, the handhelds hadn't been serviced since 2009, so we're in the process of getting them all updated. We've been putting budgets together, and then putting out the little fires that pop up with the district that they come up, and that's basically it. And I'm open to questions.
Anybody have any questions for Manager Giesling at this time? I don't. I think part of the reason is I think I saw you 4 days last week.
Yeah, we had something going on every day.
I think I've got all my questions answered.
I've seen all three of you just about every day last week.
I think
different
so.
Things.
I think even over the weekend, I think I talked to you a couple
times. Yeah, we did.
All right. If there's no further questions, we'll move on to director reports. Director Angelo is not here, so the next one would be Director Hurdle.
Look at my schedule. I know that I did attend the hearing regarding the farmers market on Friday, and the planning. I did attend the hearing on Friday regarding the farmers market, and the planning department did approve us to go ahead with conditions for additional parking, and we're very glad about that. However, the plaintiffs do have the opportunity to appeal, and I guess we'll know about whether they will in a few days.
14 days from Friday.
Okay. And I did take a really great tour of the water plant. Thank you, guys. It's fascinating out there, and they're doing a wonderful job, and the history and the way they're working was just wonderful. Very, very pleased with everything that they're doing. And we did have a finance meeting this week, and we would just be discussing that at later on down the agenda. And that's it for me.
Okay. Moving on to item number 8C, that is my report. Last Wednesday, which was April 3rd, I attended the Sanitation District meeting. If you remember last meeting, I was reporting about how there's this paradigm shift that's happening at the Sanitation District, and that the Sanitation District, now under the directions of the Sweeneys and Paul Karp, is refocusing on the core mission of being a wastewater treatment plant. And their perspective as presented was that the Sanitation District had kind of gotten sideways on some of this and lost track of servicing the wastewater that was going into the Sanitation District. This last Wednesday, we got details. And I would encourage everybody who is at all minutely interested in sanitation to listen to the presentation that was done by Shannon Sweeney from the podium in response to that, and she was detailing what is going to happen for it. The basics of it were that the sanitation plant as designed is what's called a biological treatment plant. There's good bacteria or bugs, as they call it, and there's bad bacteria. The way the sanitation plant has been being run is that they were trying to use a multi-step process rather than just being a biological treatment plant. They were trying to use a multi-step process where it was chemical, where it was partly biological, and then these are my words and not hers, just dousing everything with chlorine. This isn't working, and so the plant is not functioning well. And they're going to, they've been working with the Water Board, Katie DeSimone at the Water Board, and they're working on getting the plant back to the way it's supposed to operate. And they're going to have to shock the plant back into its the way that it's supposed to work. And so they're expecting some high BOD levels for a couple of weeks, and they've been working with the water plant to let them know that the plant's going to be discharging above the discharge permit potentially for a couple of weeks while they get the plant back online operating the way that it's supposed to. And the fundamentals of it are that the plant can treat up to 10 million gallons per day of wastewater treatment, and it's currently putting out about 2.6 million gallons per day of wastewater treatment. And it's not enough to run or to keep the bacteria alive. The bugs, as they call them, require certain amounts of oxygen and flow and whatever else that they need to survive. During low flow times, those don't thrive and they don't survive. And so what's going to happen is they're going to actually recirculate some of the already treated wastewater back into the clarifiers and the treatment and increase. So the plant will think that it's running at about 3.5 to 4 million gallons per day, but we're still going to be out the discharge, out the outfall line, putting out about 2.5 million gallons a day. The best way that I can, it's really interesting, and I would encourage anybody to listen to it. The best way that I can think about or make sense of it is if you have a turbocharger on your car. It uses your exhaust gas, which is what would normally come out the tailpipe, to spin the turbine to charge your intake so that you're in, so it's forcing, it's like ram air or turboed, it's forcing, it's increasing the pressure at the manifold, which increases the power output of the motor. And it's the same kind of thing that they're going to do with the plant. They're going to use the wastewater to charge what's coming in to keep the bacteria alive. They did already do a test run. Trini Rodriguez set up a pipe and he recirced a bunch of water during a slow period. Guess what? The numbers already came down for that one time that he tried it. And so it's really an interesting discussion. It's about a 20-minute presentation that she did. There's no overheads. There's no exhibits. But if it, I believe it's on the Sanitation District website. Anybody that's at all interested wants to see positive things that are here, I should say positive things that are happening at the sanitation plant, I would encourage you to listen to that and to listen to what the Sweeney said. There were some great questions. Vice President Lucy was there, asked some really good questions, and I think all of us who heard it, myself, Jim Guthrie from Arroyo Grande, and Mayor Peterson from Grover Beach, were all greatly encouraged because we're looking at cost savings, we're looking at a cleaner running plant, a safer running plant. And so I think we were all greatly encouraged. Mayor, you were there, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, also too is that I thought that the thought of just using your good amoebas and your bad amoebas against each other, you know, because what's happening, like Matt said, is that they're not getting enough oxygen, the good bugs and the bad bugs, the good bugs aren't getting enough oxygen to live long enough to eat the bad bugs. So, I mean, you got to like biology to get excited about this stuff, but it is actually kind of thrilling. But I think what's really good for us as a community is that that the plant will process twice. They will take the same gallon of sewer and run it through the system twice. So our water is only going to, you know, the quality. What we have to do, like Matt said, is that we have to, by communicating with the state water board and stuff and building a relationship, everybody needs to stay calm during the peak of when these tests are basically off balance. And so it's going to look like we're running raw sewage. We're not running raw sewage. But everybody just needs to stay educated and calm, and they will adjust. But I thought it was probably the best plan that I've ever heard come out of that district.
One of the interesting things, too, I forgot to mention, was that the piping already exists. There's already they have to add a 40-horsepower motor, I think is what they said.
It's not going to cost us anything.
We budgeted $45,000, but it's being pulled from another project that they've identified that's not needing to be done. So the money is just being reallocated from Project A to Project B. And Shannon Sweeney didn't give us a spreadsheet or anything, but there is quite a large projected cost savings, and chemicals are being put in on the front end and chlorine that won't have to be used because if the plant is operating the way that it's supposed to.
So I thought it was good.
I thought it was good, too. We talked about it later, and I think we were all encouraged.
And she really has a great skill for communication, because it didn't matter whether you knew anything about sewer or not. Just her communication skills brought you right along on the topic.
She's very impressive. There was some initial concern that the Sweeneys and Paul Karp are going to cost a lot of money, but I think they're going to end up costing us less money than what we were spending and saving us a tremendous amount of money.
And guess what? The sewer is going to get processed.
That's my report. Director Lucy.
Okay. I attended probably more, but I attended the RAC meeting, the Water Resource Advisory Committee, which is always one of my favorite committees because it's action-filled, and they always pack all this stuff on an agenda that can't possibly be completed in an hour and a half. So it's the marathon meeting. Anyway, a gentleman came in and gave a presentation. A lot of us are kind of wondering, as the wine industry starts to really pick up speed in San Luis Obispo County, how much water are we going to need to fill those vineyards? And so a gentleman came in and gave a presentation on how the vineyards, they don't necessarily need more water, but the types of water, and talking about building the trust with the farmers, allowing him to hang his little water bags in there and stuff. So I thought that was a great presentation. What happened at this meeting is our general manager, Tom Gieslin, was able to give a presentation, an overview of Oceano, to dispel some of the myths and rumors that have been heard in the past, and showed them a few pictures of our workspaces and how we operate and what we've accomplished and where we plan on going in the future. And it was at the end of the meeting, and surprisingly, the room pretty much stayed full for people wanting to hear the presentation. I think there would have been more questions had it not been, 2 minutes before the meeting was to run out. But I thought that our director did an excellent, excellent job. And I had several people walk up to me and say, I'm really very surprised. We had no idea. And that's really the main reason why he came in and did the presentation, is because they really did have no idea. So I think that's the two that I attended.
That gentleman was from
One more.
Okay, go ahead. I was just going to give you a little spiff to what you just said. Go ahead.
There is a town hall meeting that's happening. And Carol Ann, before we leave today, will you find that for me, the announcement? And the town hall meeting is going to be about fracking. And there's a lot of talk about fracking. Tom's been really good in, giving me as much information to learn about it. It's a word, a lot of people go, fracking, what's that mean? Well, it actually can mean quite a few things, but mainly it's for drilling and different ways they use for drilling. But there is a town hall meeting on this, and it is... And I'll come back to it and announce it before
we'll
the end of the meeting.
We'll post it on the website, too.
But I'll have the paper by then, trust me.
The one thing I wanted to point out, this gentleman was from the Department of Agriculture, and what he did was, when he was monitoring the vineyards, he also looked at the style of equipment that they used. And the amazing thing, and we see this in the field all the time, is that their irrigation valves fail, too. And an irrigation valve coming off the shelf that says it's going to do a half gallon a minute or a gallon a minute, they can be as much as 60 to as high as 80% off. So you think you're only doing a gallon a minute and you're doing 1.8 or 1.6 gallons a minute. And then the other thing you said that brought a message home to everybody was that the different types of water affect the valve seats. And so if you have a high mineral content, water is a solvent, it's going to affect the seating. And I would say the majority of the time when we have people missing water in Oceano, it's either a leaky flapper valve on a toilet or it's the irrigation valve. So just remember, when you go to Osh or wherever you buy your irrigation equipment, that what's on the label might not be true. And it does create problems not only for individual gardeners but also for people that use irrigation very heavily in the field. So.
Right.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you,
Director Hurdle.
Sure.
Moving on to item number 9, public comment. Is there any other public comment this evening? It's our second round of it.
No slips.
And nobody's jumping. Oh, please.
It's really bugging me now.
Oh, thank you. Shirley Gibson.
Yay. Hi, Shirley.
Hi,
from two meetings in a row. Pleasure.
I just want, at some point, if you have more time, to go into the specifics of the farmer's market about the 14-day appeal, and I think I don't have all the information on that. Thanks.
We're having a meeting tomorrow at 6:30 here where the farmer's market committee will meet. And we can discuss that as a group. Okay, so that would be the best way to knock it down.
But can I ask Velma a real quick question? Did somebody file something against opposing the farmers market or something?
Yes. There was a hearing before the planning department. A hearing was held. Opposing the farmer's market due to parking, the adequacy of parking. And at that time, the plaintiffs did discuss other things, but the main issue was the concern about parking. And the director that made the decision took into consideration the fact that we do have parking. And the condition that was made was that if we have an event as well as a farmer's market together, that we require acquire additional parking. And that is something that we can do. So
great.
We're moving ahead and waiting to see if the appeal is going to take place.
Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment. Move on to item 10, the business items. A, discussion and potential action regarding requests by the California Rural Water Association, CRWA 2013, Board of Directors nominating form and delegate designation form. Tom, we've received this in the packet. Is there anything you'd like
to say? California Rural Water is one of the agencies that we belong to, and they're looking for additional leadership, and so they were wondering if anybody would, there's three terms expiring, mm-hmm. and they were wondering if anybody from this district would want to be nominated and go into it.
Well, I would actually be interested in that.
Okay.
Great.
So what we would do then is we would put Director Lucy's name down and send it in for Board of Directors nomination.
Okay. And all it says nominated by, should we put the Oceana Community Services District? Because I think we would agree.
Or Board of Directors.
Oceana Community Board of Directors.
Right.
OCSD. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for all.
Sure.
Sure.
Well, you know that water, it's a little important.
With that, these designations must be returned by April 16th. Direct you to work with staff and get this turned in.
Well, we need I think you have to do. Don't you have to vote on it?
We can go ahead and vote.
Yeah, vote right. And then nominating her, and then we'll.
Sure. Put it in. I'll nominate Mary Lucy to serve on the CRWA Board of Directors.
Do we have one person?
I don't know.
From Napomo, I think.
Hold on, I'm looking here.
I don't know. When I looked at the paperwork, it didn't seem that there was any.
This is the one that
we are Region 4.
Merle Clift is on from Cambria.
Right.
He's on this board.
I am.
I don't see his name.
Yeah, I didn't see it either. I'm interested in that. I'm very interested in learning the ins and outs of special districts, and I do like their training that they offer. Mm-hmm. I'd like to.
So are you saying if we nominated you, you would accept?
I move that we nominate Thelma Hurdle for the esteemed position.
I'll second. Okay, we go to a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Congratulations, Director Hurdle. You've been nominated. So we'll ask staff to go ahead and get that sent in.
These are just nominations, and then right. You have to go out and garner a vote from the people out there, kind of like what we're going to talk about later.
Great.
Thank
Moving to item number 10C, discussion, review, and potential adoption of resolution 2013-03, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District transferring $5,000 from the district's general fund to Parks and Recreation account to support the establishment of the Oceano Community Farmers Market. Tom?
So we have a general fund, and what goes into the general fund is any excess taxes that we have. And then when the fire station, Oceana was originally a fire district, and so the old fire station was part of that. And when Oceano had its fire department, any revenue raised off that property went to the fire department. But 2 years ago, the fire department transferred in the JPA, and so we now have rental income coming in every year, and that goes in the general fund. And what I'd like to do is transfer $5,000 of that money from that general fund expense, which is about $47,000 a year, over to the farmers market. We'd originally talked about doing it as a loan, but if the farmers market crashed and burned, then what do we do? Sue ourselves? Right. Try to collect from ourselves? It doesn't make any sense. So the risk management here is that we transfer the $5,000
of the fire department. So those would be restricted funds. And now you're saying from the unrestricted funds, which comes from our assets, our return from our assets, like the fire, the rentals, lease agreements such as that the money would be coming from that fund, not to be confused with tax dollar funds, right?
Right.
And now wait.
And not water and sewer funds either.
But would those tax dollars, property tax meaning, be restricted funds? Yes. They're restricted for fire for the purpose of supporting fire services, correct? So no, they wouldn't be in the general
81%.
Fund. 81%.
Right.
Oh, okay. So it's not 100%.
Right.
So then I have a question for you. So then is that, and I think it's 0.06% on the dollar that we get or something like some ridiculously low amount, right? But that 19% that's left, because 81% is dedicated to the fire department, that's restricted funds. That money is earmarked.
That's correct.
The 19%, is that also earmarked since it is tax dollars?
Not to my knowledge, no.
So that 19% would be unrestricted. And that would be considered a general fund dollar, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, as we've gone through this budgeting process, we're working to eliminate the general fund and get as much out of the general fund as has been captured in there previously. So as it stands now, there would probably be around, I said 47, it's probably right around 47,000 that would be in there in that general fund, but we are working to get out of the general fund mode. And this $5,000 will go into Parks and Rec, and then if we get money for underwriting or we get money for grants, that'll go directly to Parks and Rec.
So will that be clearly reflected? Gosh, I guess I can't get my tongue to work tonight. So when we'd start to do budget, proposed, annual budget, can you make it real clear for in the budget that people understand the difference between restricted and unrestricted funds? Some people?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
So
you also understand, too, is that when we have draft documents, they're not, until we get them to a place where they're not in a draft form anymore, they're not available to the public. Until they're out of draft form, then they're available to the public. So after we go through our process and the committee process, then people can tear them apart.
Any other questions?
Statements? No.
need a vote.
All right.
A motion and a vote, please.
We need a motion and a vote. Is there a motion?
I move that we approve Resolution 2013-03, Resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District, transferring $5,000 from the District General Fund to the Parks and Recreation account to support and the establishment of the Oceano Farmers Market.
Is there a second?
Second.
Carolyn, can you do a roll call vote, please?
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Motion carries by a vote of 3-0. Congratulations to the Farmers Market.
Yay. Yay. Now come get that darn coffee machine.
This is exciting. Okay, moving on to item 10D, discussion and review, potential adoption of Resolution 2013-02, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District directing staff to place a lien on properties. Tom?
So when we have properties that nobody inhabits or people stop paying their bill or it goes into foreclosure, we do everything we can within the legal limits to collect it. And I think if you remember when we first got here, that bone pile was fairly high. And Carol Ann and worked pretty diligently with all the foreclosing banks to get paid. We work with the realtors when they try and sell them that they get paid. So this year, through all that effort, we have we're going to submit to the tax rolls, and we do this in coordination with the county for $2,035, and we just need permission from the board to allow those to pass through. What was the original amount that we started working on 2 years ago?
The original amount for the tax rolls?
Of the bone pile of everybody that was hadn't paid.
And then, you know, vacant piece of dirt over there that it's going to cost us to put it, you know, to put a lien on it when it there nobody's taken ownership of it. I just don't want to pay good money in an area that's not going to pay off.
No, these are actual water bills that weren't paid, okay, and actual garbage, okay, bills that weren't paid.
All right. And do we have a list?
She asked if we have a list. I don't think we have a list at this time. Okay. Correct, Tom?
No, I didn't provide you with a list.
Yeah, that's fine. All right. Is there a motion to approve? Any other discussion I should ask first?
No.
Is there a motion to approve? Is there a motion, I should say?
I motion. I move that we approve Resolution 2013-02, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District directing staff to place a lien on properties.
Uh-huh. Second.
Carol Ann, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero.
Yes. The resolution passes by a vote of 3-0.
And there's a timeline attached to your yes, staff report, so this just gets the ball rolling, and there's more than enough time for people to cure before the actual lien hits. So, and we work with everybody. I mean, yeah, if somebody's got a hardship, we're going right, to go to bat for them. So.
We've had a lot of discussions about this and stuff, and they're not, you know, I don't think we're being bullies on, yeah, on it.
We had this resolution last year, too. Didn't we? And the year
no,
before.
Every year.
Yeah, every year we've had it.
Yeah, it used to be brutal.
Did it?
Yes, it was horrible. Almost branded.
Item 10E, discussion and review of fiscal year 2012-2013 budget, status update on spending and revenue, and discussion of adopting future resolution to amend fiscal year 2012-2013 budget. Tom?
Okay. So when we first put the budget in place, when we had no clue where everything was, and I say that no clue as a team, right, because the board had tried to ascertain it before I got here, and then when we got, we made a first, we needed to have a budget in place, so we just did a single line item budget that went over income and expense.
Right.
And as we've gotten better and been able to determine everything and also got feedback from our auditors, we've been able to determine that we needed to make some budget adjustments based on our own knowledge and then also some questions that came from the community. Some things we just took a swag at and said, this is what we think we're going to have coming in. And so now, three quarters into the year, we know we need to make this adjustment. So then for like B, estimated general fund admin allocation, this number is calculated based on estimated expenses. The actual number will be calculated based on actual expenses. The allocation has zero effect on OCSD total net revenues or expenses. So all we're doing there is we're moving the stuff out of the general fund to where it needs to be. And then C, adjust budget to reflect actual and anticipated fixed expense. So if I go across to, my eyes aren't what they used to be anymore. If I go across to APCD, my favorite agency. So we pay a permitting fee for the diesel and the natural gas engines that we have. And we threw that was going to be about $4,000, not knowing what, having an idea, but not knowing. Well, we now know the actual is 2136, so we want to adjust the budget down for that. Another example of these adjustments were LAFCO. We thought that was going to be, we allotted $15,000 to it, and the actual number is $11,116. So we're making an adjustment for that. And then if I skip down to if you look at P, adjustment for professional services to better reflect actual costs, the budget and budget separately, accounting and audit expenses. So what we used to do is we used to put all the consultants into professional services, so legal, accounting, and consultants. We now have that properly coded, and we can address so that if Director Lucy says, I think we're paying too much for legal, we can give her that exact number and not have to worry about breaking it out. So these are just refinements from where we were 2 years ago and refinements to the budget of what we put forward now. And what it does is it gives everybody an actual understanding of where everything is set and where
accounting systems be three audits behind, right? And have your projected budget come within, which some people might think that's almost, you know, $874,000 off. I thought you were darn close.
And I just want to clarify that for the expenses, where yeah, it's $874,000. Of that, is $745,000 is the admin allocation. Those expenses aren't really cash going out. That's just
right.
Moving it to the other funds.
Yeah,
so it's
correct.
Actually a lot less. It's actually $129,000.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, kudos to you because wow, that's amazing. So I've read this over and over, and I was just like, this is the first time I've seen comprehensive adjustments to a projected budget come in so comprehensive.
Thank you, Jocelyn and Tom.
Thank you.
It's not me, it's staff.
We're just
taking care of business the way it needs to be taken care of.
So I move that we accept an adjustment to the proposed annual budget for 2012-2013.
I second.
Correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I captured it.
Mm-hmm. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 3-0. Go ahead.
You got to do roll call.
No, yeah, it's a roll call.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Thank you for the correction. Carol Ann.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. That's money. Okay. You learn something every day.
Thank you.
That was item E. We pulled F, G, and H off. So the next one is item 10A, director training requirements. Directors should be prepared to calendar the training dates for the following subjects: ethics training, AB 54 webinar, May 6th, 2013. Tom, you want to fill us in there too?
Director Hurdle wants us to become, and I think we all do, wants us to become a certified community service district through CSDA. Mm-hmm. And one, we're obligated by law to handle these educational fronts. We also need to do another Brown Act training and get that scheduled, not only just for us, but for our other committees out there. But it's critical that we get these done. I'd like to get them all done by when we go into the new year. So I just need commitment from... Well, the good news is if you can't do it then, you can take it on June 17th.
But what I would ask, is there a training on the Public Records Acts?
We're going to bring that on the... Put that on next
because that's week. The training that I want to go to.
That's what we're going to put on the agenda, and I'll go through the book. And
we'll, this training is... This one is on... What's the topic again? Ethics?
It's on Assembly Bill 54... And it's required by all.
Is that, are we do? Oh, the web art. Those guys are so boring.
Sorry.
They are just like, oh gosh.
I might buy pizza.
You're going to have to bring more than pizza to that training.
Anyways, I need a commitment from the board to attend these.
This is the class topics are included on the back of the staff report.
Yeah.
Long-term management, man. Public water system.
Those talking heads just like about put me to sleep.
Duties of a public water system.
So I think that I'll calendar it for the 6th. I don't think we need a motion to do it. I think we can just direct staff. I'll be here on the 6th, 6 o'clock.
So that I can pick another training that would fall under the definition of ethics, which is such a broad definition.
You did the ethics already. That's what
isn't that the training that you want me to do?
Well, there was two.
I want you to do the webinar. You've done ethics.
So what do you want me? Which
You're
one is it?
You're come in on the 6th or the 17th and sit in front of a video and watch the webinar.
Well, for what? For ethics?
Class topics include duties of a corporate director to avoid financial conflicts of interest and contracts. The duties of a public water systems to provide clean drinking water that complies with state and federal
drinking
water acts and the long-term management of the public water system.
Okay, I'll call them up and see if they can make me one.
And it's by California Rural Water Association, the one we're going to nominate you for the board of directors.
Yes, you can tell. You can make sure when you're on the board that they have more interesting seminars.
Oh, it's not the topic; it's the talking heads. I mean, you know, they've done it so many times; they're asleep too. I know it.
Okay, so we have that calendared. Moving on to utility items, none. Closed session, none. Item number 13, board member comments.
I really don't have any other than I'm excited about the farmers market. As a matter of fact, I was in town today. I took my mom to the doctor and I went downtown, and a young girl that used to live in the South County works over at one of the clothing stores there. We talked, and she found out about the farmer's market, and she's really thrilled. She has some friends that just moved to Oceano, so she's going to try to make it.
I noticed there's a new restaurant opening right where I can't remember the name of it, the place that was green and brown.
Going to be Sylvester's Burgers.
Sylvester's Burgers. So we've got Oceano Mexican food. Now we're going to have some Oceano Burgers, and so I'm looking forward to it.
Are they
From
greasy?
What I understand, they do an outstanding job, and they're in Los Osos and where else? Yeah, it says Sylvester's Burgers.
Yeah. So okay, anyways, now I'm excited.
We're all excited.
Jennifer's excited. She's a vegetarian.
We met with them, and because they have to add fire sprinklers, and we're working with them as well. So
welcome
to the neighborhood.
I noticed the improvements going in. That's going to be two new businesses in the last couple months. We've got the Internet Cafe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have the Sylvester's. I know that. I think everybody knows I own the laundromat, and the business has been picking up there this year, thank God. we've been doing really well, and so I'm really hoping that this is a spark that's going on in downtown Oceano to make it something that it hasn't been for a long, long time.
We rock, you know. Oceano rocks.
Yeah, where else do you come across the bridge, hit the depot, you know,
roll
on into town?
Indeed. Received written communications. It says none, but actually we did receive, or I should be
These are late.
Late received written communications. We did receive an email from Ms. Tacker asking to have some comments posted to her.
Yeah, she made some comments on the agenda, which I forwarded to you. We also received late communication from Celeste Whitlow applauding us on our letter to the NCSD. And I talked with Ms. Whitlow, and she's very much into water conservation, and that was one of the things that we highlighted in the draft of the original letter, which has since changed. And then we also got late communication from Marshall Hilsky. He wants to go from the alternate to the first seat on LAFCO. So I've passed that on to you as well. And then I think that's it for right now.
And we do have the letter. It'll be on the next agenda for the NCSD, and it does, again, encourage water conservation as a main resource for protecting what they already have. But we'll get there next week when we get there. Future agenda items, is anything anybody would like to add that we haven't already discussed?
I actually would like to put something on the agenda.
Okay.
That's been handling the update on that. So, but just tell us what you need done, and we'll do it.
You guys can work together.
Great.
Get her done. Director Hurdle, anything you'd like to add that we haven't already discussed?
No, I have three.
Oh, please.
Okay, one, the ballot initiative that was passed in the November election, we haven't done anything with it, but I think it's time to take action on that.
Okay.
Two is...
Hold on 1 second. Would that be, since we already talked about it and we had legal counsel advise us on it, and some of us were led to believe that a resolution that legal counsel was formulating...
Hold on a second. I think that's closed session. Our discussion about the ballot initiative, wasn't that closed session?
I believe some of it was, yes. I do. It's been a while back, but I think some of it was.
Why would it be closed session?
I don't know, but I think I remember Molly.
The legal ramifications was discussed in closed session. But I think now that it's been voted on, what we'll do is we'll...
Would a resolution...
Well, what I think we need to do is we need to put it out there where the strengths and the weaknesses are. And then you as a board can come forward with a resolution saying this is the policy that we're setting based on this election. And then we can get with council and decide if there's any part we want to challenge.
Okay.
I think that makes sense.
My recollection is that we discussed it and had a stated policy like a year ago, but we haven't put anything in.
There's nothing formal on it.
We had a stated policy.
Yeah, and I actually thought Ms. Thurman sat right there. And we don't have closed session in here.
I think that was about the timeline, because somebody from the audience said that we didn't know what we were doing and that we hadn't gone through the proper steps, and she addressed that as well as I did.
Okay.
Okay, and the second item, Tom?
The other thing is we need to formalize our public records requests. Actions so that everything is standard, depending on who, what, and where's website you look at.
And how.
It's very, very confusing, and we need to centralize that, and so it's one. I only said three, so that's three, plus all the other stuff we have on the, that we pulled.
There'll be things coming up, I'm sure. Item number 17, public comment. Is there any other public comment this evening? Seeing no one jumping up, is there a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn quickly.
Can you announce what time we adjourn?
7:35.
Thank you.
7:35.